The latest idea to encourage hiring? Another tax break for employers.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. President Obama heads to North Carolina today with a focus on job creation. He'll tour a factory in Durham and meet with his jobs council. Now, the leader of that council has just written an op-ed calling for improved worker training to get the jobs engine going again. But there's another idea floating around as well, a temporary employer tax break. Here's our Washington Bureau Chief John Dimsdale.
It's an idea getting lukewarm support from the GOP, including Michael Boskin, a former economic advisor to President George Bush Sr.
A payroll tax holiday is probably the best of any remaining stimulus. I would not oppose it. I don't think it's a high priority.
He says employers will hire only when they think the government has the deficit under control. William Dunkelberg is the chief economist at the National Federation of Independent Business. He says companies don't want any more pump priming.
If the government announces another big stimulus package, people will flee in terror. We don't want the government managing an ever-growing part of the economy. I don't think we have faith that they can do it well.
But with the recovery faltering, both Boskin and Dunkelberg say spending reductions could be delayed for a year or two if there's an enforceable blueprint for real cuts down the road. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Well, sometimes it seems like all the stories in the business world are colliding with each other, and this is one of those times. We've reported on the ongoing race to lead the International Monetary Fund, and we've reported on the spike in cyber attacks and hacking. Well, now it appears the IMF has been hacked. Marketplace's Stephen Beard joins us live from London with the details. Stephen, what do we know about this attack?
We know from a leaked internal memo that earlier this year, the IMF found what it called suspicious file transfers on one of its computers. Cybersecurity experts are saying it was an attempt to install malware, you know, software designed to relay information back out to the hackers. This is being taken seriously, though. The FBI is investigating.
And why would anyone want to hack into the IMF?
Well, it's the old Willie Sutton question, I suppose. Why rob banks? Because that's where the money is. The IMF is where a lot of potentially valuable information is. Here's Peter Summer of the London School of Economics.
They have a huge amount of information about economies that are failing, and that is of great value to the financial institutions of the world, but also to the nation states who want to know what they're in for.
A country that's about to be bailed out, for example, might want to know in advance what the conditions will be. But there's any number of uses to which sensitive IMF information could be put in the bond market, for example. And, of course, the IMF isn't the only financial institution to be hacked into. The finance ministries of Britain, Canada and France have all recently come under cyber attack, too.
Time to change the password. Marketplace's Stephen Beard. Thanks.
Okay, Jeremy.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in overseas trading this morning, but the cost of lunch with billionaire Warren Buffett is higher than it's ever been. The winning bidder for his annual auction will pay $2.6 million for a steak lunch with the Oracle. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow was undercooked. It fell 172 points to close at 11,951.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Novo Nordisk since 1923, combining drug discovery with technology to turn science into diabetes treatments at novonordisk-us.com. And by Manta, connecting millions of small business owners and new customers every day on the web at manta.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at jaguarusa.com.
Well, there's a big meeting going on in London today that's all about helping children in poor countries get life-saving vaccines. Attendees will include drug makers, charitable organizations, and representatives from richer countries, and they'll be pledging money to the Global Alliance for Vaccines and Immunization, also known as Gavi. The alliance is hoping the U.S. will pony up $500 million for the cause, as Christopher Worth reports.
Pneumonia and diarrhea are the two biggest killers of children in developing countries. They're preventable, but vaccines cost money. And Nina Schwalbe, Gavi's managing director for policy, says the alliance is looking to donors to cover a big shortfall in its budget.
We need to raise $3.7 billion so that we can immunize 250 million children over the next 5 years and save 4 million lives.
Shwalbe says Gavi uses that money in innovative ways to get the job done. For example, because donor funds come in slowly in installments, Gavi has sold around $3.5 billion in bonds backed by past pledges, so it doesn't have to wait for the money.
Having the cash now means we can purchase the vaccines and vaccinate kids now.
James Hargreaves of the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine says Gavi is also trying to get the newest and most advanced vaccines to poorer countries faster. So Gavi created what it calls an advanced market commitment to get those vaccines to countries that can't afford them.
The advanced market commitment is an attempt to incentivize those companies by assuring that there will be a pot of money to purchase these products in the long term.
In other words, if drug companies make the vaccines, Gavi has promised to buy them. It started with vaccines for pneumonia, which Pfizer and GlaxoSmithKline already sold in the U.S. and Europe. Gavi got them to ramp up supplies for the developing world within a year by setting aside $1.5 billion to cover the costs.
That's huge money.
Daniel Berman of Doctors Without Borders takes issue with the idea. He says the companies were already making billions of dollars selling the vaccines in rich countries.
You really have to scratch your head when you think, why do they need a subsidy to sell to poor countries?
Instead, he says Gavi's money would be better spent helping drug makers from emerging markets to develop vaccines at a fraction of the price. In London, I'm Christopher Wirth for Marketplace.
And finally, New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg wants a bigger bang for his buck. According to the New York Times, the mayor wants the city's street sweepers to double as parking enforcers. His theory is they're driving down the streets anyway. Why not keep an eye out for illegally parked cars? The street sweepers wouldn't actually hand out tickets, though. They'd take a picture of your car and then send you one of those nice notes in the mail that asks for $65. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
A complex drug trafficking operation from Mexico to Phoenix involved trekking through the desert for days and hiding in abandoned homes. Took a lot of people and time to pull off, not to mention cash.
There's actually a lot of money being spent, but if there wasn't that much money to be made, you know, where would they be?
I'm Tess Viglin, tracing a drug route next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.